Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians. On Wednesday night, I was sharing about prayer. We've been talking about prayer on Wednesday nights, and I was telling about a book I'd read, and Brother Tom Jackson, Miss Glenda, have the same book. It's about a preacher. It's the title of the book is The Man Who Moved the Mountain, and his name was Bob Childers. He ministered up in the mountains of Virginia, right not far up here, out from the meadows of Dan, kind of between that and Hillsville, place out in there called Buffalo Mountain. And back in the 20s, when he went in there to do a work for the Lord, there were hardly any roads, cart paths and all, and he rode horseback a lot. But God used him in an awesome way. I mean, it was very few anybody up there. No churches in the area. They're just about all moonshiners. Everybody carried a gun. There was somebody got shot and killed almost every day. That's the way they settled arguments. There were no lawmen in there, no revenueers, nobody. But God burned his heart to go in, and God used him. I tell you, blessed him. And I was telling him how it challenged my heart to see his faithfulness, how he visited through those mountains, and he'd stay out all hours of the night and had to spend night sometime, couldn't get back home, and all those things. And he said he never was one to kneel and pray, but he prayed all the time. He walked and prayed and rode horseback and prayed and all the same. And it got really dim. Then I was reading a little further on in there this week, Miss Glenda, and I came to where his services on Sunday. A lot of times he'd go preach in a home about 8 o'clock in the morning or in a store somewhere, and then he'd go to one little meeting where he was trying to get one church started, and then another one, and then one in the afternoon about 3 o'clock, and then one about 7 o'clock at night. He'd preach about 5 or 6 times a day. And then it said this. It said, but he only preached about 15 minutes in each place. And I thought, I know that's the part y'all wanted me to get out of the whole book, wasn't it? Say amen right there. And I thought, boy, that's true. I appreciate that. Looking, I have been emphasizing, and it seems like this month, because of missing last week and some other things, but the emphasis is on what we call temple maintenance. You have your place in 1 Thessalonians, but turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read a passage there, which was kind of our beginning text. And then I'm going to come back to the book of 1 Thessalonians, and then I'm going to have you to go all the way to the Old Testament real quick. And I'll share something with you this morning, and it's in my heart. Notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What say ye not that your body, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The emphasis is this. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank God for this beautiful church. Thank God for a place to assemble. But every believer, every saved person has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and your body is the temple of the Holy of the Holy Spirit. And he said, therefore, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And so the emphasis this month is on temple maintenance. Brother Jim White was with us, and he did a great job on maintaining the spiritual man and maintaining the physical man the other night, other Sunday night. And here is the thought. You have a responsibility. When you get saved, you're saved by the grace of God. But God holds us accountable for our bodies and for our spirit, for our spirit. With that in mind, look over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in chapter 4, notice what it says this in verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, if you read the whole context, you'll understand more about what it's talking about. But the emphasis is this, that you ought to know how, to possess your vessel. The Bible said we have this treasure, which is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in an earthen vessel. And we ought to know how to maintain and how to control that vessel, every part of our being. I preached to you on the Christian thought pattern. And the first message in the series is what they said in the Old Testament. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And then how we ought to think. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You and I need to have a right way of thinking. not based on the world, not based on what happens in the world. But the Bible said that we're to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that is through the work of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Everything we see, everything we hear, everything we're involved in affects how we think. And our thinking should be based on the Word of God. And there's a lot more I could have said about that, but I didn't have time. But now this morning, I'm going to go a step further in maintaining our spirit, our spirit. Turn over, if you will, please, to the book of Proverbs. And let me show you a verse in Proverbs in the Old Testament. Proverbs in chapter number 16. Proverbs 16. And I want us to look, if you will, please, in Proverbs chapter number 16 at verse number 32. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. A city. Will you bow with me for prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God help me. I pray, God, for your anointing. I pray, God, that, Lord, the spiritual truth of a very practical part of our Christian life, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit of God to make it real to us this morning. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that, God, you would remove far from me anything that would hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And, Father, I bow before you and confess there's no good thing in me. And, Father, apart from the anointing of the Spirit of God, nothing will help these people. None of our friends in the radio audience, internet audience, are here in the building. But, God, I pray for that anointing that will make the difference. And you speak through me now. And you say what you want to say. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Bobby Langdon is a pilot, and Lee was a pilot. And I've never ridden with Brother Bobby, but Sammy Barber impressed me. Sammy said I'd rather ride with Bobby Langdon than anybody I've ever flown with. And I've ridden with him in the car. That's pretty close to flying years ago. But I mentioned this some time ago in another message. I was reading something. And in an airplane, there are all types of instruments, but there's one that has kind of a unique name. It is the attitude indicator. It is the attitude. And you know a plane had an attitude? Well, what that simply means is this. It is the relationship of the nose of the plane to the horizon. If the attitude of that plane is slanted upward, the plane will rise. If the attitude of that plane is pointed down, it'll go down. It is the attitude indicator. And my dear friend, when we read the Bible in this passage of Scripture this morning, and we see this truth, he said that a man who ruleth his spirit is better than he that can take a great city. That word spirit, in the Bible, spirit's used in several different ways. First of all, there's the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, the Bible said. The Holy Spirit is the residence who resides in my heart and your heart. It is the Holy Spirit. Man has a spirit. The Bible says that we were created, 1 Thessalonians. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. That spirit man is dead until you get saved. And then God, the Bible said, he hath quickened us or made us alive. And what he made alive was not the physical man. It was not the mental man. It was the spiritual man. He made alive your spirit. You have a spirit inside of you. And then the Bible says that there are spirits in the world, which are in fact demons, and they're called spirits. But there's a fourth type of spirit, which is mentioned right here. It's not that spiritual part of man. It's not demon spirits or angel spirits. It is not the Spirit of God. This means it is our attitude. You ever heard of a team having a good team spirit? It's the attitude. And what he's talking about here is our attitude. And you say, now, Brother Billy, this sounds like one of those feel-good sermons. It's a biblical sermon. I hate it that the world and some other people have robbed God's people of something. Just because you're saved does not mean you're supposed to have a bad attitude. Say amen. God wants us to learn to possess our vessel. That is our thought life, how to think right. He wants us to learn how to possess our emotions. our emotions. A few weeks ago, we were in a conference with several of the pastors, and a pastor, I'll call his name, he's a great man of God, Brother Larry Upchurch, up at Midway Baptist Church. We were sharing things that had been put in our lives through the years to help us to be in ministry for some length of time. I'm not sure how long Brother Larry's been in ministry, but he's been there at Midway for 30-something years, and maybe longer than that. But he said years ago, an old preacher told him, learn how to master your emotions. Learn how to master your emotions. Now, that's not you know, some sort of salesmanship. That's not, it's a biblical principle. The Bible said if you learn how to master or to rule your spirit, your attitude. Everything about you is determined by your attitude. Did you know that? Your relationship with husband and wife, it's your attitude. Your relationship to others and in business, it's your attitude. And everything, every part of your life, your Christian growth, your response to the things of God, your living as you live in the house of God or serve in the house of God, it all has to do with your spirit and about your spirit. In the Bible, when you go through the Bible, when it's talking about spirit, it says there's a spirit of jealousy. There is an emotion of jealousy. They're jealous all the time. The Bible said there's a sad spirit. Their emotions, they're down. Have you ever known anybody that was always down, always melancholy? Old Brother Eddie Goddard, he was an upbeat, positive fella. He's all the time trying to encourage people. And he said one day, is this lady, and she's negative about everything. He said, it's a beautiful day. The sun was shining. Everything was great. And he was feeling it. She came in. He was trying to be upbeat with her. And he said, honey, look here. What a beautiful day God's give us. The sun's shining. It's warm. Feels good. And they were up West Virginia where it's always cold just about. And it's a beautiful sunshiny day. She said, yeah, but I bet it rains before the day's over. Yeah. You know, some people, they're not going to see anything good. Not going to see anything good. And there's some people of a sad spirit. You see them? They're always melancholy. That's just their attitude. They're just like that. There's some people that have a hard spirit, the Bible says, in the book of Deuteronomy. There are some people that have a spirit of guile, a spirit of contriteness. There is two types of spirits that are called broken spirits in the Bible. One is what's a good thing, which is a humble spirit, humble attitude, and one is a bad one, which is a defeated attitude. There's a lot of difference between being humble and being defeated. There's this guy down in Florida where I was pastoring that one time. He always had a burden for something. I mean, it looked like it. You could see it on his face. He had a burden for this, and he had a burden for that. He had a burden for something. He always looked sad, always looked down. And he always had a burden. And he wanted people to think he was super spiritual because he had a burden about this situation, a burden about that situation. But way back then, God taught me a lot of different. There's a lot of difference between having the burden of the Lord upon you and just being down and defeated and having a sad attitude or bad attitude. And he had a bad attitude all the time. It wasn't a burden. It wasn't a burden. It was something different. But not only does it talk about that kind of spirit, but it says sometimes there is a overwhelmed spirit. And that is that emotion that feels like everything is hopeless and there's nothing good going to happen. An unstable spirit, a haughty spirit, a prideful spirit, a fervent spirit the Bible talks about. And in that particular word, it isn't the same word in the Greek. It means enthusiasm. They've got an enthusiastic attitude about him. Brad has, I think, a pretty good enthusiastic attitude, don't you? Amen. And when he has coffee, he's that much more enthusiastic. Amen. Or Mountain Dew. But listen, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about our spirit? And what about our spirit? Well, first of all, God commands us that we are responsible for our spirit, for our attitude. You say, well, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. I made up with that. And if you was going through what I was going through, you'd be like this anyhow. No, you don't have to explain it to me, but you will have to explain it to him. You will have to explain to him why somebody who's been saved and on their way to heaven and all their sins have been forgiven and all of that goes around all the time and they look like like they just defeated and discouraged and they got a bad attitude about everything. My dear friend, God wants you to display that attitude that comes from the biblical truth of the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, and I want to get ahead of myself, but you and I, the Bible said that when people see the joy of the Lord is our strength, and when they see that, when they see that in us, they'll ask us for the reason for the hope that's in us. The most important thing you put on every morning is your expression. I mean, you want to dress properly, you want to take care of yourself, but I'm going to tell you something. People see things in your eyes. They see things in your face. And my dear friend, God's people ought to have something inside of them that resounds out to the world, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, everything's okay. Amen? I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, everything's okay. We're going to rejoice in the Lord and be glad in it. The Bible commands that. But then the Bible also teaches this, that we will be held in judgment for it. If God wants us to do something, and God wants us to say, the Bible said we ought to be faithful in our giving, or we ought to be faithful in our living and faithful in our witnessing. And whatever God tells us we ought to do, if we don't do it, then we'll face judgment, not condemnation, but we'll have to answer for that judgment. See? And so did you know that not only about your actions, what you do or where you go, you don't go, or those type of things, but you know that the Bible teaches the principle that we will be held in judgment for our attitudes. Did you know that? Some people just like being ill. Some people just like being down, melancholy all the time. And I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit of God make it real in your life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have joy and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, I've come that you might have peace. I mean, God's people, Jesus wants you to have peace. He wants you to have joy. And that ought to be a part of your disposition. It'll be part of your attitude, everything. You can do that. But listen, in the book of Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 28, I want you to look at that. This is an interesting verse. I've got so many verses I can share, and I'm thinking about them 15 minutes now. But notice in the book of Proverbs, if you will, please, in chapter 25 and verse number 28. Here's an interesting verse that I ran across when I was going through this. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. What's that mean? It means, listen, you say, I've got this little problem and that little problem, all these things are going on, and you go around all the time, you got the mully grubs, you like on hee-haw, gloom, despair, and agony on me all the time. You think, well, that's going to get me some sympathy. No, what the Bible says is, if you don't learn to control your emotions, if you don't learn to have a right attitude, you're like a city with the walls broke down. And what's going to happen is the devil's going to take advantage of that, and he's going to come in and he's going to sow something else in your life. He's going to do something else in your life. He's going to cause you to have a negative effect on your husband or your wife or your children or folk around you. And somebody else is going to get in a mess because of your spirit and your attitude. And you'll have to be accountable for how you influence them. He said, if you don't learn to rule your spirit, you're like a city with the walls broke down. I mean, if you go around with a bad spirit, a depressed spirit, an attitude, a negative attitude all the time. If you go around like that, you're opening the door for big trouble. You're going to have more and more trouble all the time. In the book of Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, it says this. It talks about the children of Israel, and it says, because of their spirit, they would not obey the Lord, and God did not bless them. Did you know that your attitude affects the work of God? It affects your effectiveness in the work of God. You know, when you talk to somebody about the Lord, and the next minute they see you and you got some sort of bad attitude, you're negative about everything, they're not going to listen to you. Your attitude affects your effectiveness in the service of God, in the work of God, and everything else. Your attitude is everything in your life. Your attitude can either be your best friend or your worst enemy. It affects every area of your life. I love that old song, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But if he tells us that you and I ought to have the joy of the Lord, If he said we're to live every day and say this is the Lord, the day the Lord's made, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. If Paul writes to us in the book of Ephesians and said rejoice, and again I say rejoice, if we don't do that, we're not obeying. And if you obey him, God will bless you in that. Attitude, my dear friend, is determines everything. Somebody said attitude determines your altitude. It's how you look at things. It's how you look at what God's got for you and what you can do. It is everything to you. It determines your approach to life. It determines your relationship with others. How you begin something with your attitude. In school, you kids, when you go in, you say, I don't like this class. I'm not going to do good in this class. I'm going to fail this class. And I don't think I can do this. It's going to affect you. But if you go in and you with the right biblical attitude, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I'm going to depend on him. I'm going to look to him. And I'm going to go in. You know, people don't keep a job because of their attitude. They got a negative attitude about all the time. They think everybody's against them. They think nobody gets them a fair shake. But you go in with the right attitude, and your attitude affects it. And I'm trying to tell you this morning that God, the Holy Spirit, wants you to have the right attitude, but it's not automatic. It is not automatic. You say, well, some people just nature different. I know that. But listen, the Holy Ghost of God came in us, and we have become partakers of a divine nature now. And you have a divine nature inside of you, and you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, and he can override every bit of that for the glory of God. And matter of fact, if somebody has a nature of being depressed and God gives them victory, that's a greater testimony. If somebody's nature to where they are fiery and they lose their temper all the time and yet God gives them victory over that, that's a great testimony. Somebody look at them, they say, hey, so-and-so, boy, he used to have an attitude. If he'd find the drop of hat, he'd drop the hat. He just had that, but now he's changed. I don't know what's happened. He doesn't get angry anymore. He doesn't fall off the handle anymore. He doesn't rip, rare, and cuss anymore. Why? What changed his attitude? The work of the Holy Ghost of God in his heart. My dear friend, listen, your attitude, everybody ought to know how to possess his attitude, his vessel, and it includes your thought, it includes your attitude, and everything else. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? In the book of Ezra chapter 1, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ stirred their spirit. The Lord can affect our spirit. Psalms 51 verse 10, the Lord David prayed, and he said, Lord, renew in me a right spirit. In Isaiah 57 verse 15, Isaiah prayed, and God spoke to him, and he said, I will revive your spirit. I'll encourage you. Did you know that God can change your attitude? Talking about people need an attitude adjustment. Boy, we need one, don't we, sometime? But the Bible says that God can do that. God can change our attitude. Look in the book of Philippians, will you? Turn over to the book of Philippians, and in chapter number 3, listen to what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul went through so many things and suffered so many things, but in the book of Philippians, in chapter number 3, listen to what Paul has said and his approach to life. He said in Philippians chapter 3, and he goes on in verse number 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Some people go around all the time with a defeated attitude, and they've had problems in the past, and people didn't treat them right. They've been abused. There have been homes, wives have been unfaithful to husbands, husband unfaithful to wife. You can't go back and undo any of that. But God said that you can have victory. Paul said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind and reach forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep looking ahead. God can do that for you. God can do that for you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1 that he can cleanse our spirit. Cleanse our spirit. Now, many of you work with a computer all the time. And most of you know when you can have on your computer some things in installed, and things that you don't really want to go into your main hard drive or whatever, and show up on your email, it can automatically send it to trash. It has sent it to that trash box. I mean, just like that. Did you know what? So many things coming in your mind and in your heart and your life is trash. You got to get rid of it. But I didn't know until a little while ago that not only can it go to trash, but you can clean it out of trash and send it somewhere. I don't know where it goes. If you hit the right button, it'll go. I mean, it's gone forever. You won't ever see it again. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, that he can clear out the trash. He can restore to you, David said, a right spirit. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, he says that he can cleanse our spirit. Cleanse it and get rid of it. Look at the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, right there, if you're in Philippians, it's not far. Go back to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look with me at verse number 23. And he said, and that ye put off the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's in verse 24, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God can renew. Now, you know what that means? New. He can make anew your mind. Romans, he said this, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God with your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that's not your responsibility. It is your responsibility and you're accountable for it, but the one who can renew your mind is the Lord. He can change your attitude. And you go around all the time with a bad attitude and you say, that's the way I am. Are you saying that God can't change it? Are you saying that God can do anything? He can cause the sun to rise and set. He can cause the tides to go in and out. He can do all the things, but he can't change your attitude. You're a disgrace to the name Christian. I mean, you dishonor God and you blame your physical makeup, and God, the Bible said, created you. And you're saying that God made you that way and that's the way he wants you to be. He wants you to be a complainer. He wants you to have a bad attitude all the time. No, God didn't do that. He wants to renew in you your spirit. He wants to give you a good attitude. He wants to give you a right attitude about life and about him and about what he can do. He can change that. How does that happen? You're in the book of Philippians, Ephesians. Go back over to the book of Philippians. And in chapter number 4, I read this to you at the very beginning, but in chapter number 4, look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. What's he saying? He's saying that God has taught us things. God through his word, God through his men, he teaches us things. And your spirit can be renewed through the word of God. Holy Spirit of God, use that word to help you to know how to think and develop a right attitude in the Lord. You and I are to have that right attitude for the glory of God. He can do it. Do it every day. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to turn to him. The Bible said that we can be refreshed in our spirit, renewed in our spirit. God give you a good attitude. God can help you to be a person who glorifies God. You're pleasant to be around. You believe God can. I mean, when things look darkest, you still have that attitude. God can. I'll tell you a story once again about old Coley up in Reedsville. Old guy that loved the Lord. He's worked all his life hard. He'd go sing in revival and he'd take his old guitar and he'd start trying to sing. He'd hit a note or two. He'd get to crying and praising God and shouting, and people get to shouting with him. A lot of people said, that's just a show. That's just old Coley. And they called me one night and said, Brother Billy, Coley's house is on fire. I took off over there. When I got there, it was dark. Volunteer fire department, several cars around. his house was nothing but a pile of smoldering ash, glow, coming off the coals of his house. Coley and his wife, his little girl standing in the middle of the dirt road where they lived in front of his house. As I was walking up, I was praying for him, and I said, God, help me know what to say to him. And when old Coley turned around, I could see it like it was yesterday, he turned around, and the glow from the ashes or from those coals where his house had been, the red glow off those were reflecting off his face that were covered with tears. And he looked at me, and he said, Brother Billy, God give me that, he'll give me another. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's Christian attitude. I'm going to keep on keeping on for Jesus. I'm going to forget those things that were high. I'm going to press toward the mark. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to do what God would have me to do. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing to people. And listen, it affects everything about you. It affects everything about you. I ran across these statistics, and I didn't know where I'd ever use them, but it's interesting. You've heard me make this statement. People will hardly ever remember anything I say when I preach, but they'll never forget how they're treated when they come in this church. The way you treat people, the way they perceive you when they come in, and your attitude. People come in here, and we got visitors here who just recently moved down from Virginia, but when they come in and they feel your joy, they sense that you love the Lord. They sense that you really care about them. And they just feel God's presence in this place. What they feel and how they're treated in this building will affect more than what I say. Well, listen to this. Why do customers leave a business or company? If somebody has a business and their customers leave, why do they leave? Number one, they die. 1% leave a business because they die. Number three, that they move away. They go into a different 3% because they move into another area. 5% because they have other friendships, a friend's running the business or somebody else influenced them to go somewhere else because of friendship. Number nine, because of competitive reasons, that is maybe the price is a little better or something a little better over there that they like. 14% leave because that they're dissatisfied with the product. But listen to this. 68% of the people who leave a business to go to another business with their trade, they leave because of a spirit or an attitude of indifference on the part of the employees. You go in a place and they don't care if they wait on you or not. They don't care what kind of service you get. I don't care how good the product is. You're probably not going to go back. It's how you treat people. I'm telling you that your attitude affects ministry. It affects your life. It affects your home life. It affects your school, your business, everything about it. And God wants us to have that right kind of spirit, that right kind of attitude. And you and I can have it by the grace of God. He can renew a right spirit in us. He can give us a right spirit. He can renew that spirit. He can cleanse our old spirit. He can make it right. Back in this book of Philippians, I want you to notice what it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, listen to the Apostle Paul. I want to remind you that when he's writing this, he's in prison. And when Brother Tom Gillen was with us, he explained to us that he was in not only just a prison, not kind of a upscale hotel type prison, like some of our prisoners might be in, but he is in a Mamertine's prison, which means he's in the sewer of the city. He's in the sewer, chained in that and down there. And it's an awful, horrible place. And he writes to this church at Philippi out of the prison. This is one of his prison's epistles. And he said this, rejoice in the Lord always. That's all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him. All the time. He's in prison when he writes that. Or you say, well, that's just preacher talk. That's just the way preachers talk. It's just the way they do. But if you go back to the book of Acts and you'll read where the Bible says that Paul was in prison. And in prison, the Bible said in that prison, which is the account of the prison encounter that he writes from, it said at midnight, Paul and Silas sang songs and praised God in the middle of the midnight. He lived what he preached. He lived what the Bible teaches. He had that right spirit, had that right attitude. Now listen, if you start out somewhere, and when they do coordinates and to track satellites and to send a spaceship to hit a certain spot of landing or whatever, it is crucial that when they leave where they are, they have the right coordinate. In other words, they got to have everything just perfect, because if you're off 1/100th of an inch here, out there 100 miles, you may be 100 yards off. Or out there 100 miles or 1,000 miles, you could be thousands of miles off. And the problem with some people in their attitude is where they're starting from. Their attitude is not starting from what Paul called the new man. They don't have a divine nature. All they've got is what they were born with in Adam's race, a wicked, depraved nature. And the human heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. And Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And people think and act the way they act sometime, not because they're bad Christians, but because they're not Christians. They've never been saved. They can't act Christian. They can't be Christian. They might put on a show for 5 minutes or one day or during revival. But the next thing you know, they're right back with that wicked spirit, bad spirit, hateful spirit, spirit of jealousy, all that. Why? Because they started at the wrong place. They don't have a new nature inside of them. They don't have the Spirit of God inside them to cleanse their spirit, to renew their spirit, to give them a right spirit, right kind of attitude. The most important thing right now is, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved by the grace of God. Because there are a lot of upbeat people who go to these conferences and everything else, and they try to have a positive outlook on life and a positive attitude, and they'll be in hell for all eternity. Because for the Christian, it's a change of heart and change of life. And then God working in our heart to mold us and make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you'll never, ever be able to have the right spirit, right attitude. But if you trust Him as Savior and Lord, He can work in you. We are accountable. I'm accountable to possess my vessel. I am accountable to present my body a living sacrifice. I am accountable to rule my own spirit and let God's Holy Spirit work in me. Gird up the loins of my mind and let Him do in me what needs to be done. I'm just telling you, my dear friend, that there's a good way to live. Nothing like living a life when you're full of joy, full of peace, and regardless of what's going on around you, you've got the joy of the Lord down on the inside, and you can rejoice in Him. You'll be effective. You'll be a blessing. You'll help people. You'll encourage people, my dear friend, and you can see people saved if you have the right spirit, right attitude. You know how God will bless a church? It's because they have the right attitude. Many of you maybe visited churches around. You just kind of sense people, they don't even want you there. You know, they got their little group, they don't want you there. You don't feel any welcome. You don't feel any love. You don't feel any anything. Their attitude is such that you're an outsider. That's not what God have us to do as believers. Now you say, Brother Billy, I'm telling you, if you want to love God, live for God, you've got to learn how to maintain this temple. And how you think is part of it, and your attitude is part of it. And we'll talk about some other things. But right now, my emphasis is this. I want to ask you, what kind of attitude do you have? Do you have a negative attitude about everything in regard to the Lord, the church, your own life? Or do you have a positive attitude? That greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bless. He's coming again. I want us to bow together for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Every person, I'm going to tell you something. in a place of business, you'll not stay in business long if you've got a bad attitude. If the employees that you employ and they go in and out of homes, or they people come to your house or to your business or to your shop, if you've got a bunch of employees in there that's got a bad attitude, they don't care about people, they are negative all the time, it's going to ruin your business. Same thing's true of Christians. God made us in such a way, He took away all of our sin. He said, I want you to have the joy of the Lord. I want you to have peace that passeth all understanding. And He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. He said, David said, Lord, return unto me a right spirit. Cleanse me. And many shall see it. I tell you, people see that attitude in you. And when they do, they'll be converted. They'll be changed. You can have an effect on their life. Maybe some of you just feel like you've been a victim of circumstance, or just so many things going on in your life, you just have been down and defeated and discouraged. You've had a negative attitude. I'm just telling you, God didn't want you to be that way. And you don't have to be that way. I'm not saying that He's going to heal every one of you. I'm not saying He's going to just turn around your whole financial situation overnight. But I'm telling you right now, He can change your attitude and your spirit. He can cleanse your spirit, according to 1 Corinthians. He can renew your spirit, according to Romans 12. He can create in you a new spirit. If you'll let Him, it's a matter of you who are Christians saying, Lord, help me. God, I want to have a good spirit. I want to have a good attitude. I want to be a blessing to be around. I want to encourage God's people, not discourage them. God, use me. And then if you're not saved today, you need to be saved. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? I hear my Father. Lord, I've tried to lay, put on people's heart what You laid on my heart. God, I pray You'd help me as a preacher, as a man of God. I, Father, to maintain the right spirit, the right attitude. God, I'm glad for what You're doing. God, I pray, God, You'd help me, our Father, to be a good leader, a shepherd of this flock. I pray, God, that You'd forgive me and purge me for where I've had not the right attitude about certain things or whatever. God, I pray You'd help me have a biblical attitude. And Lord, that we might all, our Father, have the right kind of attitude. I pray You'd purge our minds and our hearts. Help us, Lord, to maintain our vessel. Help us to maintain our Father, this spirit man. Help us to learn how to possess our vessel. And as You said in the book of Proverbs, how to rule our spirit, not to be under circumstances, but be over them. God, not to be, Lord, dominated by things around us, but Lord, to live above that in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that You'd speak to people's heart. God, I believe You put it on my heart, there's a need for it. Somebody need to hear it, and I pray, God, they'd respond. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, friend, let me encourage you, we're not going to be very long. We're going to got some meetings real quick and probably do birthdays in a few minutes, have a couple of announcements. But I want to ask you, do you need this morning God to give you an attitude of judgment? Number one, He commands you to have right attitude. Number two, He'll judge you for a wrong attitude. Number three, you'll not be effective in ministry if you don't have the right attitude. You can't help others, can't be a blessing to them. Number four, it affects you in a negative way if you don't have the right attitude. It opens the door to many other things. And I want you to just ask God to help you this morning. I invite you to come. If you need to come, get around this old-fashioned altar. Say, God, help me. Some of you have an attitude that everybody's against you. Everything's against you. That's just not so. If God be for us, who can be against us, the Bible said. He's on your side. He loves you.